Okay, we're on air live. Hi, everybody. This is Vance Stevens in, where am I? I'm in Al Ain, United Arab Emirates, and I'm kind of wondering where I am at the moment. But I'm just starting to hang out on air live this Sunday, March 15th, 2015. And we're talking about eye pedagogy, which is kind of for me a preparation for a little mini workshop some colleagues and I are giving at TESOL in Toronto. Oh, someone's listening to the stream. Someone has to stop the stream. Oh, it could be me. It could be me. I just have to. There we go. Stop, stop, stop the stream. Okay, close the window. Whew. Well, that was me. That was when I had to get the embed code, and I got it, and unfortunately, it just started automatically. So, here we are. I want to, first of all, welcome Maria Colusa from Argentina. There she is, and Nina Liakos in Maryland.
Hi, Vince.
Robert is with us. Robert Wachman is with us from the Philippines, and Susan Hilliard from Argentina as well. So hi. Let's let Susan say hi because she has to run off. But it's so nice of her to stop in. It's always good to see you. You have to unmute yourself. You're muted. Oh, yeah, there you
Can
go.
you hear me now?
Yes, we
Okay.
can. How are you?
Hi, everybody. I'm in Buenos Aires. It's a crazy hot day at this time of the year. We're usually moving into at least a little bit of autumn, but it's boiling hot. So I need to dash out because I have to go for a run.
Oh, good. You mean a real run?
A real run, yes, because
I
otherwise
often have to do that. How far do you run, just out of curiosity?
Oh, about 3 kilometers.
Oh, okay. So you'll be back soon.
I'll be back soon, but then I have to get ready to go out because my husband will be wanting to go for lunch. So
Ah,
then I'd
goodness
put the calories
gracious.
back on.
Yes, well, of course
Okay.
you can get the recording. You can catch the recording. So,
Ah,
and
yeah,
we're
I'll
so
catch
glad
the
you were in
recording.
the recording. Okay.
Okay, great.
All right. Have a nice jog.
Bye.
Okay, bye-bye. So, let's see. Ahmed just joined us. Hi, Ahmed. How are you? Where are you at the moment? Can you speak?
Yes, I can speak. How?
Okay. And oh, you muted yourself. You just muted your microphone. So you'll have to there you go.
Oh,
Now you're
so
unmuted.
now, yes, I'm currently in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia.
Okay, Ahmed
I just got back
Musahan.
from work.
Ah, okay. All right. If you happen to have a headset, it would be nice, but you can probably just mute your microphone when you're not using it. You might notice that other people in the chat. Yeah, so when you're not using it. Anyway, Ahmed, nice to meet you and welcome and from Riyadh. Very nice. And then next over, Maria, you want to say hi to us?
Hi all, how are you?
Perfect.
It's quite hot here as well. Yes, well we all share the heat, I guess. I don't know what's the weather like over there, but I'm ready to listen to this iPedagogy or something that you have to share. Thank you for
Okay.
invite.
Okay. Nina, how are you today?
I'm pretty well, thanks, Vance.
Good.
How was TESOL Arabia?
TESOL Arabia was really nice. I was just there for one day because my two boys from Doha came and we brought them back here to Al Ain Friday night. So somehow we didn't get up in the morning in time to go back up there, and we went to a lake of all things nearby. A
Where
lake
is
we had never been
there?
to. Al Ain.
No, I mean, where is there TESOL Arabia was?
That's in Dubai.
That's in Dubai.
Dubai is
All right, so just
an
next
hour and a
door.
half's drive.
Yeah.
Counting the traffic, it's about 2 hours.
Well, there was a
It's
flurry
kind
of
of.
posts about it on Facebook,
Yes,
webhead
that's right.
meetings.
Lots of web heads there. I met Shawki Mukaddam and Ayat Tawil
But
and
hadn't you
great.
met Ayad before?
No, I hadn't.
That's amazing. You live in the same corner of the world, if we can call it.
In the same corner. It's kind of like saying, what, someone in Vancouver, you never met them before? There's a considerable body of water separating us.
But I just assumed that she would have attended TESOL Arabia, and you would have attended TESOL Arabia, and you would have somehow met up.
Yeah, well, it was our first meeting, as the case may be.
I must have been.
So, Robert. Okay, yeah, it was, huh? Robert. We'll see Robert in Toronto soon.
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me now?
Yes, can, uh-huh. Robert is doing a presentation on Hangouts in Toronto.
Yes, hanging out with anybody that will hang out.
I've put your event in Learning Together, in the Learning Together list.
I saw that. I'll need to clarify that, you know, the workshop will mainly be showing people, it's a tech fair, so it's a total of like 25 minutes maximum, and maybe the last 5 minutes of each of my two mini presentations would be connected to anybody who's available. But I wasn't planning to have the whole thing, although actually now that I think about it, I could, since I'll have two computers, I could have one computer logged in and recording, broadcasting everything, and then the other one would have to log in from a different account to...
You can use the same account. You can be in twice from the same account.
Oh, okay. I can have two computers, and as long as if we have headsets, you know, when I did that here, unless I have headsets, I have a problem with feedback, you know.
You have to plug a headset into each of them and then just trail one of the headsets off the table and, use it as a sound sink.
We'll figure it out. Maybe, I'll consult you about the hardware details
later. Talking about that, I think I am on the same boat here because I have submitted a proposal for Artisel on mystery Skype location or mystery location calls, and if they accept it, I will also be needing help from my PLN, right? And so far I haven't heard any news from them. So I don't know. We still have to till tomorrow, but it will be a presentation on the benefits of connecting classes, and of course, I don't know how I'm going to go around it, but I just submitted the proposal because I have so much fun learning, and I see the students' engagements when they call me as a mystery person, and I just wanted to share that. I wanted you to know.
Yeah, well, keep us informed. Yeah, so, and Susan has just mentioned that she used to live in Riyadh, where Ahmed is from. I used to live in Dahran, by the way, for 5 years. Oh. And I traveled to Riyadh by train, actually. They had a train from...
Wow.
Yeah.
When I was back.
Who knows about that one? Is it still running?
Yeah. You can hear me, right?
Yes, we can hear you. Huh?
Yeah, okay. So I don't have to unmute myself. Yes, it's still running. Are you talking about the train from Riyadh to Dammam?
Uh-huh. Yes, that one. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Still running. Yeah.
Are you using iPads with your students, Ahmed?
Not much. Yes, I do, but not much. Like I've been always thinking of designing an iCurriculum, But I have been developing this, but not fully developed yet. I need to go back to all the notes that I've been taking. You know, I've attended a session with you before about using iPad in teaching, and my master's thesis is about using iPads in teaching as well.
Mm-hmm.
So when I've attended a conference in Dubai. Not TESOL Arabia, another conference, and it was mainly about using iPad in teaching. So like I have all the data, but I need to go through them, and I don't have enough time to.
Who does?
but it's in the plan, you know.
Yeah, well, that's why, in a way, I'm doing this. This kind of a presentation today. Actually, as Maria said, she's challenged herself by putting in a proposal for our TESOL, and you know, and when she gets the proposal accepted, she'll then learn what she needs to know about you know, connecting to computers in a Hangout.
But recently, I teach currently. I teach at Al Yamama University. Saudi Interlink, and our philosophy in teaching is we don't use textbooks, so we design our curriculum. But the thing is, I've talked to them recently about taking the trend of using iPad in teaching, and the assistant director told me that this needs a lot of like they need to see something tangible so that they can approve using iPads in classrooms and change the whole system of the university. And he told me that to go ahead and start like a pilot program, like experimenting with what I know, and then we'll move from there. So.
Okay, so in case you're not using your microphone, be sure and mute, because there's a lot of background noise from, so just mute when you're not talking. That will help us to on the recording. So let's see. I've got to find my, okay. I can also hear an echo. It could be Halima. Maybe I should just mute. I'll mute some microphones. Mute the people that... Okay, thank you, Ahmed. Yes, okay. Still hearing the background. Maybe it's Robert. I don't know, because he's the only one not muted now. Okay, so Robert is having trouble with his connection. He always does and pops in and out. So, anyway, okay, well, thanks very much for muting. That's very good etiquette. And the reason I'm giving this, doing this today is to try to sort of crowdsource with you and discuss with you some things that you might help to add to my presentation, and I'll show you the presentation. It's for a mini workshop, something that, like Robert is doing, just in my case, I think it's 12 to 14 minutes, so I decided to settle on 13 minutes. So I'll go ahead and show it to you. To do that, I'll do a screen share. Basically, let's see, screen share, here we go. Share this window here. Okay, I think I've got, there we go. So there's a screen share. Now, to get this on your screen, you might have to click on my icon, but it's basically something that I'll probably make this into the slides that I might use for the presentation, but right now it's just brainstorming. So I'll show you a little bit, just what I'm thinking about. What the task is to, in my situation, first of all, I have to say that I prefer using PC when I can, and often when using iPads and teaching writing with iPads, it's necessary, especially if you're using Google Docs. So it's necessary that there's a PC in the mix. In our case, we have the teacher computer in each classroom is a PC, and I have a number of PCs plus an iPad. So the students, though, all have iPads. So I'm not sure if that's ideal for them. There are many interesting things about iPads, but one problem with the iPad, especially when you're teaching writing, is it's really kind of hard to type on them. So However, when I teach writing, I use Google Docs, and I organize it on a PC. I haven't got a lot of slides in here about Google Docs, so what I think I'll do, I think I'll just run through the slides and let you see them, and then you can come back and we'll just talk about it. But also, I don't want to just dominate the conversation. So, has anybody used Google Docs on an iPad yet? Anybody in our conversation? Or do you use Google Docs on PCs with your students? Okay, Maria does, all right. Okay, so, and use it to teach writing, I presume. You want to tell us a little bit about Maria?
Yeah, I am a huge fan of Google Docs ever since Shelley Terrell introduced them to us in one of the Evo sessions about electronic books. It was difficult for me for my mind to adjust to the idea of the online virtual shared document, but then when I got the grasp of it, and because I have a limited number of students, I set up a Google Doc for each student, and then we use it as an online workbook. So we don't spend time writing here, but it's kind of a homework, and I teach them from home, and it's not necessary for us to work on the paper here in class. We devote time to conversation or to other things that worry them. And this time, this last month, I've been having classes. I had to teach a visually impaired student, which is a fascinating thing to do for me, and this Google Doc was like our connection. We pulled all our links, the links we considered interesting, we just linked them in the Google Doc, and there it aligns with the philosophy that you once said, Vance, that we had to tend to put all our stuff together in one place. When we go online and we start grabbing things from here and there, we tend to disperse ourselves, and so it helps me a lot. And I also have them access to my Google Docs via my phone and my tablet computer, which is not an iPad, because here in Argentina, iPads are extremely expensive, so I haven't been able to afford one. That's what I do.
Okay, well, thanks for that. Oh, Benjamin just popped out. Benjamin Stewart was here. I hope he's coming back. It's Maha. Maha Abdelmonim has joined us just now from Egypt. Okay, well, anyway, so that slide that I've got up now, which you can probably see because I'm talking, so it should put it on the screen. We have some... You have to work around the limited functionality on iPads, and I also can access them on my mobile phone and things like that. But basically, I don't know. Maybe Maria, do you happen to know these shortcuts? When I go into when I actually do my presentation, I'm going to have to ask you to visualize this, because I don't really have the slides here. Possibly I could bring up, let me just talk about it first, and then I'll go back over it if you want me to. But basically, the tools that I use, when I get 20 student compositions thrown at me, I find I can go very quickly through them if I use two tools. One, if something shouldn't be there, I use a strikeout tool, which is Alt-Shift-5. And that, if you highlight something and then press Alt-Shift-5, it strikes it out. It's a lot easier than going up to the format and then finding the strikeout tool and putting that in. And the comment tool is the other one that I use almost exclusively. I don't go back and make any corrections in the paper. I basically comment everything. So you can see it in a moment in one of my slides coming up. So the comment tool lets you leave a comment, and Control-Alt-M on a PC is a shortcut to it. Actually haven't played with it very much on an iPad. I suppose you could. You can probably highlight something on the iPad and then put in a comment, but it would be a little bit awkward. But to go very quickly on a PC, you can strike out things that shouldn't be in the student's document, and you can leave comments, and you'll see in a moment what those comments look like. And also, if you're going to use this, you have to have an organized drive. You can organize your drive on much better. You can organize many things, like Dropbox, for example, on a PC, and you can use it on iPad, but sometimes the organization is much better done on a PC. So I create folders for my classes, and I create folders within those for the projects that they're working on. And then I move the files that they share with me. You can see shared with me files, and you can move those to a folder. What that really does is it puts a tag on it. And so all the files become tagged, and you can look at them in a folder. But what you're really doing is filtering with the tag. That's the name of the folder. And also recent is another thing that will help you find recent files. So those are some of the shortcuts that I'll probably want to mention to people. Let me just show you what the comments look like on a, this is an iPad view of work that I've done with the student. I'm not sure if you can see that very well. I should tell you there is on the first slide here, you can put this in the, let me go back to the first slide, because there's this tiny URL there that, let's see if I can copy that. Let me put that into the text chat here, and that will allow you to go to the, that's where you can go and see the slide yourself. So that will enable you to see much better that what the student sees when the, first of all, there it looks like there's an autocorrect there. The students can autocorrect like they can in Word. The comments will come out in in yellow, and they can click on one of those yellow things and pull up a comment, which is the second picture there. And the view in Google Drive and Google Docs is a little bit different. Here you can see, in this picture, you can see the Docs app, which they have to have. If you work in Google Drive, and if you click on the last thing in the Docs app, it opens the Drive app. In Drive, you get more tools. You can search, for example, for things in the text. Whereas in Google Docs, it's a little bit more limited functionality. So another little quirky thing about that. So that's good. Any more comments about Google Docs? I'm going to move to other tools in my presentation in a moment. But
actually, Vance, I do have a question because I'm confused about Google Docs versus Google Drive. I used to use Google Docs, and they changed the name to Google Drive, and I was never really clear about what else they changed.
Let me explain.
I mean, I know what I'm using. I think I'm using Drive.
You're using, yes, the Docs app is actually a tool to create documents.
Okay, so that's
Word-like documents.
You'd get that for an iPad or an iPhone.
Yes.
So if I'm
yes. When you
at
when
my
you
PC, which I'm doing most of the time, what am I in?
If you're working on a PC, the you're using Google Drive, what used
That's
to be called Google
Docs.
But yeah, yes. And I see the confusion is completely on the iPad, because
okay.
On the iPad, if you'll notice on the slide that I just showed, I'll put that up here. Here we go on the slide that I had up a moment ago, if I can, share it. Sorry, I got to share it. So the one that I had here, the one I had here, you see the blue bar at the top of one of those windows? That's actually says Docs on it. And that is the app, the Docs app. And you can see in all the icons there are look like documents. So that's an app that if you go to Safari and you start opening your Google Docs, it will prompt you to download the app for it, and that's the app that it will download. But you also need the Drive app. That's what you're used to. That's the one that accesses your Google Drive, the one that you access on the PC. And the Drive app, some things, if you have both of them, it will go to the app, the Drive app, and show you things. That's actually where you see the comments, where you can search on the text and things like that. So you have to have them both, and then they work together. They sort of move between one to the other, and it works well. But you do have to have them both. Yes, okay. Maria is showing us something there. Let me get rid of this little window here. Okay. I think I came back to my screen. Yeah. Okay. Let me show. Let me put. Hang on a minute. Put that back, Maria. Maria, I want to put that on the recording. Can you hold it up again? There you go. Okay. So there's this going under the recording. So she's showing us the drive. Yes. And the docs. Do you have docs as well? Do you have the docs app? She does. We'll get there in a minute. Okay. You can see what she's doing by clicking on her icon. I've clicked on her icon, so it goes in the recording. So maybe I can find it over on mine. I don't know. Take her off the screen for a minute. Okay. Maybe I can find it over here as well. Any other questions before we move on to other tools?
Yes, please.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Slide in your present in your PowerPoint presentation, where students were able to comment, or maybe those were your comments. What is that Docs app? The Docs app as well, or that's your?
Oh,
PC?
Yes. Okay. Okay. What I do? Let me show you while I've got this on the screen. Okay, I can probably put that up there. Let's see, Docs app is over there. That's the Docs app right there. Okay, so the drive is on a different window, but the Docs app is blue. And what I do is I really, you know, the Google Docs can be done very efficiently if you use those shortcuts and if you... if you work on a PC, I would find it very frustrating. Let's see what. Go ahead, Maria, again. Where are you showing us? Okay. Yes, she's showing us on the Android.
That's how it looks on my Android smartphone.
Drive.
Exactly. I have the drive, yeah. And then I access the documents via the drive. Yeah. I don't have a separate Google Docs app. I don't know why.
Oh, okay. Okay. Are you creating docs on your Google Drive, or are you just...
I create folders. These are the folders where I separate, for example, business, I don't know, material, TESOL, mm-hmm. etc. All the things go there, and then mm-hmm. I create documents inside the folders. And these documents, I have a folder which is called Students Books, and inside that folder I have one document for each of my students where I throw all the material that can be of interest to each of them. I am aware, though, that it's impossible for someone who has over 20 students or more than 10 students that I have. I just have 7 students, so I can pamper them however I want.
My question for you is, on your Android that you just showed us, do you ever create a document there? Do you ever create a document on the Android?
No, because it's... I feel like you. I like my PC. So because when I create, I am like an artist.
Uh-huh.
I want to put pictures and all that, and I have lots of windows open. So I grab my paintbrush and I start.
Okay. if you were showing us an iPad and you had the drive on the iPad and you actually tried to create a document, it would then prompt you to download the Docs app.
Okay.
Yeah, so the Docs app appears when you try to do it some other way. It offers you that option of getting that app. Yeah.
That's why. Thank you.
I want to say hi to Benjamin. Benjamin, how are you? We saw you a moment ago. Now we see Benjamin's icon, which looks pretty much like Benjamin, actually. I don't know, maybe Benjamin stepped off for a minute. Okay, we'll get him back. Okay, so I'm going to show you some of the other tools that I use. And then I'll ask your opinion, what tools you find useful, what tools you might use. So actually, these two slides right here were done in a program called EduCreations. And EduCreations is, I kind of like it. It's a, what it does is it, it's for illustrative work. All these little texts and there.
We yes, can't see the slides. You're not screen sharing.
You know something? I'm over in my, yeah, you're right. Thanks for telling me that. Okay.
I am watching them from the link he sent us.
Yeah, that's right. So I did give you the slides, but anyway, yeah, these slides right here. This is done with EduCreations. I'm just going nuts on my windows here. Somehow I'm losing it. Okay, the EduCreations is a free tool, and it basically lets you it lets you import pictures. These are pictures, and it lets you write text. So you can also have students, talk about images in this tool. It makes an attractive presentation. It's very easy to use. You can draw on it. And so for getting some ideas out, it's a nice tool. It's called EduCreations. And that's something I recommend. That's for light writing, obviously. That's for, getting things out. And another tool that I use is Doc Story Builder. I actually found out about this at the TESOL conference and tried it on my students today. The neat thing about Doc Story Builder, in the slideshow itself, that will be a hyperlink. Maybe I can actually go and get that and paste it into the text chat here. I'll just put that there in case you want to click on it and make it work. I'm getting a little echo from somebody. It's not muted there. Let's see. Okay, making sure that I'm over in the. Just checking the chat wing. Halima has come. Halima has left a note in chat wing inviting us all to a conference in Tashkent. Yeah. Chat wing is at chatwing.com/Vance Steve. Okay. Anyhow, let's see. Because we're streaming this live on webheadsinaction.org/live, and I'm just touching base with my live audience over there, or the audience who isn't here. Okay. So the Doc Story Builder is an interesting app. What it does is it would be much nicer if we could actually do it, but it's something that you can do on a whiteboard. Let me just go through and mute all the mics that are not muted. So I'm not sure where it's coming from. Okay, I think I've done that now. All right. Doc Story Builder, if you go there, you should click on the link and check it out. It lets you start a story. I think it has you write a name and another name. You have to have at least two names there. And on a PC, you click in the box where your name is, and you can type. And that typing goes up on the screen. Like, for example, you can see Vance and Hamad on the screen. So Vance is talking to Hamad. And when I type, my typing goes onto the screen. And then Hamad can add his text. And there are also probably some links which I could probably give you in a little bit. There are some links where you could see this work. But the neat thing about the iPad is if you touch the text, you can speak into it. So it's really nice. It works very well. You get the iPad tool where you can speak. And so it helps to overcome the problem of typing on the iPad. And it works really well. So you can pass the iPad around. You can have put students in pairs, and you can have them talk to each other, and then the talk comes out on the screen. And I think I will I'll find you a link during the discussion that will give you an illustration of that. So that's one tool I can use to overcome the problem of typing. And another one I find very useful. Oops, sorry about that. I'm clicking on the wrong. The second one I use is Dragon Dictation. Dragon is a tool where it's basically a speech recognition engine. It's a continuous speech recognition engine, which means it works on natural language processing. So it actually, as you can see from the example, I was speaking to it and talking about some of the disadvantages, but it does work if you want your students. It's a good way for students to get something out of their mouths and onto paper, so then they can work on that and they don't have to just go write out everything. It also spells correctly for them. Inconvenient, for example. Any comments on those tools?
Yeah, go ahead.
No, Nina, well, I was just asking, because I have these partially sighted students, does it mean that it will be very useful for him as well? Because he has this problem of writing with mobile devices, and if this means that he will be able to dictate and the tool will transcribe what he says, it would be perfect for him. Am I correct, Vance?
Yes. He could. What you can do when you can speak into the Dragon Dictator, whatever it's called, you can speak to it and it will create text on the screen, and then you can email that or you can send it in the usual iPad ways, whatever way you can export from the iPad. So I find it works fairly well. Everything I write on that, I have to process it, you know, so I have to get it in my email and then work on it. Mm. But at least, you know, on an iPad, you can send it to yourself, copy it from email, paste it into Google Docs, and work on
okay.
it that way.
It looks amazing to me, but as I'm not actually working with students now, can't really see how I can use it. But I just wanted to ask Maria, do you use JAWS with your partially sighted students?
I didn't get it. What do you mean by that?
I don't know what it is, but I know that there's a special application that you can use called JAWS.
No, I will check it out. He can see it at home with a magnifying.
Okay.
But I'm constantly seeing. Looking for things that can.
What is JAWS?
We don't know.
I don't really know what it is, but I have a colleague who's been teaching at the blind school for some years, and I also have a friend who is blind, and they tell me that there's this application which you can use on. I don't know if you can use it on iPad or on iPhones, but I know that I can send them emails and they can reply. So it turns the email into some other kind of application. Maybe it's voice or maybe it's Braille. I don't know. But you should certainly check it out. I think you have to learn to use it before you can use it with the students, obviously. But that's okay. All I know. I just know the name of it. Sorry.
Yeah, there are quite a lot of text-to-speech applications you can use. So text-to-speech is... Of course, maybe not for, especially for, what's the word they use, people with disabilities, I suppose.
Partially sighted. Yeah.
Or special needs.
Special needs or specific needs they use these days. Okay. The British Council has asked if we will say specific needs instead of special needs, because special needs is discriminatory.
Yes, that's a good term. Specific needs.
Specific. Yes. And it keeps the S, which is good, because you still have SEN, which is specific educational needs. So it's quite good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Susan does amazing work with people in with speech specific speech impediments, I suppose. But anyway, she's done a recording for us showing her work. So
yeah, we don't only work with speech impediments. We work with wheelchair users. We work with children with discipline problems. We work with children with ADHD, with dyslexia, with Asperger's, with Downs. So we've got the whole range of specific needs.
Yeah. Well, I guess I'm actually thinking of one person you showed us who looked like but she was very articulate, incredibly articulate, but somebody who's obviously, yeah, anyway, that's really interesting stuff that you're doing there. So, okay.
I have a just quick question. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's about the text, about the speech to text, mm-hmm. Dragon and the other one. How accurate are they when the speech, the incoming speech is student speech that is accented and mispronouncing words and things like that?
I really don't know. I think what they do, both of them, probably use a dictionary. So when it hears an utterance, it tries to match it with something that it knows. For example, when I used the word TESOL in my presentation last week, I think it came out diesel, as in the fuel. So it tries to find a word that it thinks it knows. So it knows words, and it only writes the words it knows. So but obviously you have to go in. It gives you something. It puts things down on the screen that you can then work with, and that is an advantage on the iPad. Because at least you've got, you could say a paragraph and then you could go in and fix it, basically. Mm-hmm. It might be a little easier. Students struggle. Like they could take a whole 45-minute period writing a paragraph on an iPad. Mm-hmm. The diesel convention, yes. Uh-huh. Okay.
I'll see you there.
Okay, well, let me just go over the last couple of things that... And then maybe you can tell me if there's anything I should add. So I was playing around with putting Wordles into, sorry, making Wordles from the, from student compositions. So here's an example of one. I just took, I actually had to make this.
Sorry, I have to go.
Yeah.
Sorry,
okay.
Bye.
All right. Well, thanks.
Bye-bye. Thanks a lot. Bye, everybody.
Nice
Thank you.
You.
Bye. Good
okay,
luck.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, I'll just make sure that Benjamin is muted. He might have just left it on. Okay, I think, all right, I think we got, oh, there we go. Okay, so, and the echo disappeared. So it was one of those. All right, so Java doesn't work. When I tried this, Java was not working on my iPad, so I couldn't get the Wordle to appear. So I had to go to the PC and make the Wordle, and then paste it into the student's document myself. So I'm not sure I think Wordles are really nice if the students make them and find something that's attractive to them. But at least you can decorate student work with a Wordle. I looked for it on iPad apps. Oops, sorry. I keep clicking on my Hangout to change slides, and that's not going to work. Okay, there's something called Word Salad I found that is free. There was something else you could buy, which is it was only about a dollar or two. But anyway, in my situation, students will never buy anything. So if it costs anything, you can just forget it. But Word Salad, you can download it for free. Put the lovely little watermark all over your Wordle, or Word Salad as it is. And again, I could make the image on an iPad, but I could, and I could copy it, but I couldn't find a way to insert it into the Google Doc. So I'm not sure if that is the Google Doc using the Doc app on the iPad. So I'm looking for something that the student can create and then insert into the iPad, and I'm not sure if I'm missing something or what. But that's basically where I've come to in my explorations. There's another slide here. Let me see what it says. Oh, yeah, okay. If there's anything you'd like to add, you can add it there. So that's pretty much what I have to talk about at this point, which is I might improve it before the TESOL conference, but if you have any suggestions, other things you use, yes, Ahmed, go ahead.
I'd like to ask how you would use, for example, the word salad application, like in what teaching, writing, like how would you incorporate this into your teaching methodology, like in your class?
Okay. Oops.
I think I don't know if I can answer that question. What comes to mind is that you can, for example, highlight the text from an article, for example, and provide the word cloud as to the students before you present them with the article to make them predict what it's going to be about. That's what I would do, one of the things.
Yeah, students like to see, you know, they're easy to create. And that student, for example, the one who's on the screen, well, he's not on the screen now. Okay, I'll go back to it. I'll put it back there. Okay, so, or how about this one? This is done in Wordle, which is really nice. So you can see, for example, words stand out. This would be noticed by other students. Do the other students know these words? These students appear in his work. The word depend, for example, seems to... Normally, what happens is the words are large according to the amount of times they're used. So he's mentioned disadvantages possibly more than he has advantages. There could be advantages, and there's an advantage. Oh, about the same. Okay, so there's disadvantages. Okay, so you can see a little bit about the text he's using, about his vocabulary. You can also rearrange the words in different ways. And so... you know, since they're taken from the text, they're kind of a text analysis tool. So you can sort of get from them whatever you think. Maybe let's say we're looking for connectors in there. He's used however also. I can't really see the small ones, but you know, you can see what words he used. He's probably used however a couple of times. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, focusing on some vocabulary in the text. But what about dragon, for example? How would you use this in your teaching? The dragon application. Like, I know that using the iPad, you can, if you use the notes application, you can do the same. I guess you can use the microphone and speak, and then it types what you say. So. What is special about Dragon and how we can use this in our teaching?
Okay. Dragon works well, and it's free, and it's a software that's been under development for about 20 years, I suppose. Other tools, obviously, I've been in my car and spoken text into smartphone and then tried to email it to myself, and sometimes that works well and sometimes it doesn't. Other tools I find are maybe not so accurate. Dragon just seems to have a nice interface, and the student can just hold up the device like this and start speaking into it. Let's see if we can make it work. Maybe I can show you. So we can see what it looks like. I can find it here really quickly. Oh, it's in my, it's in a folder here. Let's see. Okay. This is Dragon. Okay, so if I create a new file, so it's waiting for me to talk. Some little advertisement came on. Okay. So basically, I tap and talk. So I talk into it like this. It's recording now. Maybe you can see that it's recording. and it will basically write what I'm saying. So I'm going to stop it now. Okay, it says tap and talk, so I talk into this like it's recording now, and you can see this recording, and it will basically write what I'm saying. So then it got something there at the end. So if a student, it's just easy to use. You can...
I guess it's more accurate than the notes application. Yeah, probably.
Maybe you could speak into notes and it might work well for you. I don't know. I find that this one is, I like it. You could try. Yeah, you could speak into notes and it might work as well. Actually, I hadn't actually thought of that. This is a silly thing. This is very simple. So I appreciate that suggestion because maybe I'll try that and see if that's a more direct way to do it. I'll test it and see if it works. Thanks very much.
Vince, may I ask you? Hello, may I ask you?
Yes, Halima from Tashkent. How are you?
How to use iPad for reading? I prepare for this international conference in Tashkent. I posted the link. We get at first time ICT international conference in Tashkent, and I invite all of you. We are located the Great Silk Road. Samarkand, Bukhara, the Silk Road, this is the center. It will be at the end of June. The very, very good time. You can be host at my house without any payment. Easy. Oh,
okay, yeah.
Only write a good presentation. Would you like to get this link here? Yeah? I posted the link here.
Saw it.
Yes, it is the first time a very great conference from China, from Hong Kong, maybe from this ID International Institute. You are now in Dubai with Ayat. Maybe it's the same. They moved to Tashkent, yes.
While you were saying that, I wrote in tinyurl.com /Takeon2015, Vance. If you click on that, you'll see my presentation.
We read all articles about revised taxonomy of Bloom. There is said that descriptive is good, but the best is combining of descriptive, how to use ICT tools, plus do as I do. We need some kind of specialist like you being here and to demonstrate because...
Okay, Halima, we're discussing, we're having a discussion. Could we stay on the topic? Okay. You asked about reading, and I put a link there.
Yes,
that,
reading. I would like to actually, short story, only one page.
I'll answer your question if you'll let me.
How to do that?
Okay, question is how to use it with reading. What
yes.
I do, what that presentation is about, shows how I do it. I find texts in the textbook, and I read them into Dragon, and at the same time, I use actually the microphone with Audacity on the PC computer, so I'm speaking into Dragon and getting it to write out the text for me that I'm speaking when I'm reading, and it also creates on the PC an MP3 in Audacity. And then what I can do with that is I have a voice, an audio version of the text that I want my students to read. And I also have a soft copy of the text, which I can use. I could make several texts, for example, and put them in a Google Doc. And the students can then search for vocabulary words, or I can use them in class to bring up on the screen and search for things that I want to find a lot more easily than I could bring a PDF of the text onto the screen. The students will have the PDF of the text. One thing they like to do, too, is they like to read and listen to the voice, because then they can put the sound with the words that they're reading.
PDF of the text must be incorporated in their iPad or in their e-reader. Yes, that's okay?
I was talking about writing iPad. In this today, yes. But you asked me about reading. So I use the same tools to get I want the students to read into a soft version by reading it into Dragon. And then it converts what I say into text. and then I can use that text, and also while I'm doing that, I'll just record my voice.
The conference will be in Tashkent. 5 branches of one university are located 300, 400 kilometers, 5 branches. We would like to select one text of Isaac Asimov about ICT in the school, and then to show how PIPCA teachers also teach this class in 5 branches of the same university. Is this possible?
I don't know. That's not on our topic right now. So okay. We can stick to the topic.
I will write you a personal letter. Yes, it will be good. Okay. We have too many iPads. Tools are very well, but pedagogy is not so mastered. Therefore, I like the word pedagogy because tools are millions, but good pedagogues, no. Thank you, Vance.
Okay, thank you,
Hannah. Connection with internet, nevertheless, I followed all your ideas. Please come to Tashkent, Maria. From Argentina, you can fly only in 5 hours.
Okay. Let's let other people speak now.
Yes. Thank you again.
Okay. Okay. Any other comments on what we've been talking about? Yes, Ahmed, do you have something to say?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really like the idea of using Dragon with Audacity with like to create a reading lesson and a listening lesson at the same time. What would you like? I like to have ideas like this one. What would you do for in a writing class, for example, just as an example?
Hang on, let me just mute everyone. Hopefully we'll mute when we're not okay. Got it. Okay. Unless that's Nina. Nina, you're also unmuted. So maybe you can mute. No? Oh, you're unmuted. So let me mute you. Okay, so I'm not sure, we're getting some echo from somewhere. Okay, it disappeared, so might have been coming from you. Okay, so in writing class, most of the really heavy lifting in writing is done in Google Docs. So I'm really using Google Docs with the students intensively when I want them to write. I can give all kinds of feedback in Google Docs, which when I actually make my presentation, I'll give examples of that. That link that I put in the text chat was something I presented just 2 days ago. So, uh-oh. Okay, so anyway, what I use Dragon for is to facilitate the process of the writing. Go ahead, Ahmed.
So you use Google Docs to ask them write to have them write like essays, for example, and then you comment on them at the same time. This is the real benefit that you get using Google Docs, like to have simultaneous feedback going back and forth between you and the students.
Yes, correct? It works really well. It works better than any other system I've ever tried. But the problem with marking, with writing, is if they write on paper, let's say, then it's really difficult for you to give directed feedback to each student. It takes a lot of time, for one thing. So if you have large classes, as a lot of us do, then I find that with Google Docs, I can really go very efficiently using those tools that I just showed you. That is, when I really do this presentation, and of course, everything I do, by the way, goes online. But these are the moves that I make. I use the strikeout tool, the comment tool to comment to them, and they respond to the comments, and they have to change their text according to my comments. So I don't use any red marks or write anything in for them, but they have to read the comments and understand the problem and then correct it. And that's also very fast to do. On a PC, Control-Alt-M lets you write a comment in, so I can go really fast through their papers and address their errors. And then they in class, they come back, and they're actually looking at their documents. And, of course, you can put a document on the screen. You can work with the student while he's working at it on his iPad. I'm up at the front with him. So a lot of times we go into the documents together.
But you still can do this on your iPad. You still can use use these tools, Strikeout tool and Common tool, on using your iPad, yes or no?
If I were a teacher with an iPad without a PC, I could not use those tools. There aren't any shortcut keys. However, you can press on a word, or you can highlight something, and you can then click comment. I think that is here. That's a word is highlighted. What you see on the very right there in black is comment. So you can hit the comment. You can make a comment, but then again, you have to use the iPad keyboard to write that comment. Or you could try using the voice. That might speed it up a little bit. I guess that's what I would do. But basically, I do it fast on a PC. So that's how I deal with the students. Having the PC allows me to efficiently put their work in folders and find it quickly, much more quickly than on an iPad.
Are those tools with the Microsoft Office that you use on your MacBook or a PC?
I don't use Office. I use Google Docs.
Sorry. You think with Google Docs, okay. Mm-hmm. But on your Mac, right, Vince?
I use a PC to teach the class, to organize my office. Here at home, I use pretty much PC all the time. My students have iPads, so when they had...
I was afraid that those tools are different. You know, I mean the shortcuts when you press Alt, Shift, and 5. I wasn't sure if you can do the same with a PC. As long as you're using a PC, that's great. Yeah.
Yes, you can. It's just I need to work efficiently, but I find that I can do it. I can address a lot of student writing, give them constructive feedback. They respond to it, which is something I often, if you just give a student back a paper, the student looks at it, and that's the end of it. So anyway, I find it's very effective because the students can correct their work right in the text, and they can do that on a PC or an iPad. So and they go and correct it pretty quickly once they get the feedback.
Right.
Okay. I'm very glad you were able to join us. Maybe we'll see you at future sessions. I'm going to leave this. I don't know whether Nina's making a comment in the. Yeah, let's see. About the muting. I'm sorry about that. I'm going around and muting anything I find unmuted and trying to get rid of the echo. But it may not be you. In any event. You have a question. Using Docs one-on-one or with a group of students. The students are about 20 in a class, but of course Docs is one-on-one, which is the really nice thing about each student gets individualized feedback in the Google Doc. So that's a good way to work one-on-one with students and keep them writing. Our students aren't really good at... they create the docs. You can speak to us, Nina. You're fine. Are you muted now, or I don't think you are. No.
I was. Muted. I was muted.
Okay.
I can good. See yeah, the go ahead. Icon. My Arab students from the Gulf area, mostly Saudis, they're generally not good typists. Mm-hmm. Their keyboarding skills are very poor. It's very hard for them to type anything in Word. They're very slow. They use one finger. They hunt and peck. I don't know if that's typical for the students that you have or if it's just the ones that come to me.
Well, mine are in the UAE, but you could ask Ahmed what he finds with students that he's working with. They're in Riyadh. What do you think?
You mean they have difficulties typing or using keyboard? This is what you're saying?
Yes. Yes, they're just not accustomed to typing in English.
I agree. When it comes to using a keyboard and a PC, yes, they're very, very slow and they're not used to it. but I maybe with an iPad, I've seen a couple of students using an iPad and they were comfortable using or typing using an iPad. But we can, I'm not sure if we can think of the smartphones that they have, because they're super fast typing on their smartphones. But I don't think they would.
But are they faster? Are they using Arabic or English? I mean, are they using English words to write in Arabic, like the Chinese use English, the English alphabet to write in Chinese?
I would say from my experience, because when I start teaching a class, I create a WhatsApp group with my students. So we all communicate in English, and they write in English with me. Probably among themselves, they type in Arabic, and I believe that they type in Arabic faster than they do when they type in English. But it's still faster than using a PC or using a keyboard on a PC. But they it's just something that they need to get used to. Because we eventually we have them write their essays on their PCs, or I ask them to write their essays on a keyboard on a computer, and then they email it to me, email them to me, all the essays. Mm-hmm. So it's a very important skill. So I believe they need to get used to it anyhow.
Yeah, and using some of those voice tools, speaking into Note, for example, or the Dragon tools, that can help them a little bit, at least get something out, you know, to overcome the writing block, you know, the keyboard block.
Okay, thanks.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It's getting a little bit past or into dinner time. We're not really past dinner time. But we've been here for an hour, so yes, man, go ahead, Ahmed.
Yeah, I'm concerned if I use Dragon or any kind of these applications, so students will not have to memorize spelling or know the words. They would just choose the easiest way, and they would speak. And then the application does everything for them. Like the application would take care of the spelling and the hand, you know, the penmanship. And have you thought of this as like as a disadvantage? And we need students to actually use their penmanship or use the keyboard at least to know how the word is spelled. Otherwise, they would just do this the whole time. They would use, you know, something like Dragon the whole time, and then I don't know. I mean, like from an educational point of view, this could be one of the concerns that someone may raise.
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't think it's the first I've heard such concerns expressed, because for example, when we used to teach writing many years ago, 10 or 15 years ago, people were quite concerned that using word processors, students would be losing their ability to write, and they used to try to get people to write. Some people thought that was very important. But I think that's a skill that is not so important these days, since most of our work is done on digital media. And also, if you're using digital media, you're using Word or whatever, it's going to have a spell checker. So that kind of thing is getting a lot more common. So actually, this is a tool that would work to your students' advantage. I don't think to have them have to misspell every word in order to learn to misspell this word and that, it's just too much for them. You know, they you need to reduce the task for them to take some of the load off. So if they use Dragon, it's not going to give them exactly what they want, you know. So no natural speech processing recognition will do that now. They're still going to have to go and look at the text, but the the problems they're dealing with now are to make the corrections that the dragon has messed up, and find those in the text and find the what they might have meant to say, and then they'll also have to go back and organize, break their grammar, things like that. But the task now has become a little bit simplified because they don't have to do that plus the spelling and all that. So you know they might become a little bit more fluent in that case.
Yeah, and they're going to work on it. No.
You just try it and see, and then come back and tell us what you find.
Great.
Yeah. Okay. Any other comments? So sorry we couldn't interact with Stuart. He's a presence here. I don't know if he's there. Probably not. Anyway, Stuart runs a group with over 1,000 members on a Google community called TIL. Teachers for Interactive Language Learning, and it's always nice to have him in the chat. And we've been speaking with Ahmed in Riyadh. Where do you work, Ahmed? You told us, university.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Al Yamama University.
Yes. I have a question.
Okay.
The question is, you never been to Tashkent, but your friend, Les Kirkin, visits Tashkent very often. Does Kirkem know all these things, how to work on iPad, this iPad?
I don't know. You'll have to ask Les about that.
He never organized a kind of workshop enlightening people how to work. Only English. English people know how to speak, all can communicate, but we have new tools. Like this, like e-readers, like to writing e-books. I was in this Evo session. He must organize something new. Maybe you will tell them, because he has written in his Facebook that he was honored as high professor in Saudi Arabia. Greet him and say that he must bring new knowledge to us. We are waiting for him here. Because even I cannot participate and present very successfully.
Let me say goodbye to the people who are leaving. Yes. Ahmed, nice to see you.
It was very nice. It was very nice and informative. Okay. Very good, Vance. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. And I guess I'm going to turn off the broadcast at this point. This is Vance Stevens in Al Ain UAE. And
maybe
you are March
not to Tashkent,
2015. Then. Okay, and Halima is talking to us from Tashkent, Uzbekistan. Ahmed is waving goodbye. Nice to see you, Ahmed. Hope to see you again here in this space. And
thank
Benjamin
you.
Is not really here.
It was very nice. Benjamin,
okay.
Vance, hi.
Yes?
Come to Tashkent conference.